We had some time today to catch up with Governor Gretchen Whitmer. She's had, to put it mildly, an exceptionally challenging year, countering the COVID pandemic with lockdown orders. She reached a deal with legislative leaders a little while ago that kept funding for schools whole amid the pandemic's economic stagnation. And as the world now knows, Governor Whitmer was also the target of an alleged terrorist plot that ended with state and federal charges for 14 men, most of them from Michigan. It kicked off a conversation about the state's militia movement and extremism in the public sphere. Governor Whitmer, welcome back to Stateside.
Thank you.
The state Supreme Court, I'd like to start, if we could, with the pandemic. The state Supreme Court recently issued guidance that curbed your emergency powers in issuing emergency orders. And at the same time, we're looking at an 80% increase over the past couple of weeks in Michigan's COVID-related hospitalizations. The Department of Health and Human Services has issued some rules for the interim, but does more need to be done beyond what health officials have put into place?
Well, I think that this is the concerning part about this moment. The Supreme Court's decision and, you know, the lawsuit has created a lot of confusion. We've always known going into this fall, we would be at a heightened danger of increased COVID. People are coming inside. We've got kids in face-to-face instruction. There are more contacts because we've re-engaged our economy, and it's flu season. All of these things are very concerning, and that's why the orders that I issued were so important, and our ability to see them through the spirit of them remains crucial to our success. And so Health and Human Services is doing what they can, but the Supreme Court ruling certainly has impacted our ability to keep our numbers down.
Are you looking at other avenues for possibly issuing statewide orders?
There are certain things that we can do in terms of rulemaking in various departments. There are orders from the Health and Human Services Department, and certainly there is some legislation that has happened. The legislature codified my orders in this past week, and I'll be signing those into law. However, none of it is as quick or nimble as the executive orders were. And that remains my concern here.
I wanted to ask you a bit about the efforts that the state is making on the economic front. Recently, the Michigan House and Senate passed bills to address some short-term issues. But it seems clear that the relationship that you have right now with House Speaker Lee Chatfield and Senator Mike Shirkey, the majority leader, is a little bit rough. They've both been critical over the weekend after, of course, issuing statements of support after the news came out of the plot against your life. Do you have open channels of communication with the Speaker and the Senator right now?
You know what? We still do quadrant calls every other week. The Speaker hasn't been able to attend one. I'm not sure why, for about a month and a half. So he has not participated in those. We do have, at the staff level, regular communication. And I'll just say, you know, certainly strained would be putting it mildly. These are two leaders who I've been continuously asking to help bring the heat down, seeing all the increased threats. I asked them to bring the heat down. And instead of doing that, they participated in these rallies. They've met with these, you know, groups, and they've emboldened them. And I think that that's a very real concern. And I think it's legitimate when people are trying to take your life or your family's life or those around you. We all have a responsibility to bring the heat down. And that's what I asked for. And I'm hopeful that as we get past the next 3 weeks and look at what the next chapter looks like in America and in Michigan, we can find some common ground. But it's certainly been a challenge.
You just mentioned that you're looking at a sort of a three-week increment here. I mean, how is it possible to make economic plans for Michigan, given that the health situation is changing so rapidly?
Well, we know that keeping our arms around the health crisis is absolutely critical to our ability to get the economic crisis under control as well. We've been pretty successful in terms of pushing our COVID numbers down. We have one of the top 10 economic recoveries nationally because of that. They're absolutely linked. That's why I'm hopeful that Joe Biden and Kamala Harris will be in the White House come next year, because it's absolutely interlinked. And so long as this health crisis rages out of control, the economic challenge will remain. So we are working toward re-engagement. We have done a good job here in Michigan, but it's all very tenuous. And I think that's makes our planning purposes a little more complicated, but we're going to continue to put our foot on the gas and make the investments that will undergird our long-term economic strength.
You mentioned the need to lower the temperature on conversations around Michigan and what the state needs right now. At the same time, it was you who held President Trump's feet to the fire on stoking the extremism that many would say led to the plot to kidnap you and possibly make a threat to your life. At what point do you have to hold in balance the need to call out people who are using extremist rhetoric and the need to just move forward and work with who you've got in the room?
I think that there's always that balance that has to be struck. However, it is critical that people in positions of power use that power for good. And that means acknowledging where there are abuses, where there are people contributing to the violence and the anger and the bigotry. You know, I quoted Ronald Reagan in my comments because I wanted to show this isn't a partisan moment. This is an American moment where leaders of goodwill on both sides of the aisle need to use their platforms to help us focus on, yes, we can have robust debates, but at the end of the day, we all have a duty to make sure that every one of us is safe.
Attorney General Dana Nessel told WXYZ on Wednesday that more charges in the plot against your safety are imminent. If we're talking about more than a dozen alleged conspirators, what does that say about the breadth of extremist thought in Michigan?
We've always known that there were groups out there. In the last 4 years, the rhetoric has heightened. The space and legitimacy given has increased. And I think that we're now in a moment where these groups feel emboldened and are growing their ranks because of a lot of the political rhetoric that we're seeing in our country. We have a challenge. We are up to meeting it. We're going to make sure that every vote gets counted and that people can be safe when they exercise that right to vote. But we also are going to continue to combat anyone who is has terrorist plots, domestic or foreign, because that's what we as Americans do. We stand for doing the right thing, and we hold people accountable.
Beyond speaking out against extremist violence or conspiracies, is there anything that can be done to walk Michigan back from this edge?
Sure. I think that making sure that we are inclusive and creating real opportunity for everyone in this state, trying to find space in the middle where we can find common ground. One of the things that I continue to think about and I'm concerned about and want to make sure we do is after this election's over, we've got to be able to talk to one another, leaders on both sides of the aisle. We have to be able to find common ground. And it's not going to be easy, but it's absolutely imperative, and I'm committed to it.
Governor, you're a former state lawmaker, and you have been at work in Lansing during Second Amendment or open carry days at the state's capitol. Should guns be banned from the Capitol building, a building that belongs to taxpayers?
I believe they should. You know, I have talked to so many fourth grade groups and parents and tourists who just want to come and check out our amazing Capitol. And we want people to come and feel comfortable coming to the Capitol. We want lawmakers and the press and observers to feel safe when they are in the People's Capitol building. And so I do think that there should not be guns in our Capitol. I think the world looked at a lot of those images and wondered what the heck is the deal with us being able to bring weapons into our Capitol, because they're not permitted in most. So I do think Michigan should come into line and make that a safe place for every person who wants to be there. It's all of our building.
It's been widely reported that you knew about the plot for several weeks before the indictments came down. Can you tell us what you had to do personally to be able to carry on professionally through all this?
Well, I knew some extent of it. I didn't know every aspect to it. And I only knew as much as related to me and my family. You know, unfortunately, since the president first set me in his sights, we saw an increase in threats and hate. It's been documented by a number of news organizations. And every time that Michigan has been targeted or I have been targeted, it increases. And so this is a sad part of the reality that we've been living with for a while. And I think it's having confidence in the Michigan State Police and the people that keep me safe that has enabled me to stay focused on doing what I need to do to save lives and mitigate the economic pain we're feeling as a state.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.